y'all doing? I'm so glad to be joining y'all this morning. Right now, you can open up in your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15. And today, I want to talk about religion versus relationship. I love going to talk about Jesus to people. Anybody else love that?
Yeah.
Talking about Jesus is one of the best things we can do. We get to hear so many different insights and stories, and we get to share the love that we've felt from Jesus, right? But a lot of times we get an answer that can sometimes stump us. And it's a very common answer of, I don't like to talk about religion. And my favorite comeback to that is, I don't either. I want to talk about a relationship. I want to talk about a relationship with the God that created us. I want to talk about a relationship with someone that loves you. I want to talk about a relationship with someone that wants to have a relationship with you. In this chapter of Matthew, we're going to break down some differences and some contrasting things between religion and relationship. So let's get started, all right? So our first one is religion focuses on tradition. We're going to go to verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.'" All right. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm Jesus and someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, y'all need to wash your hands before you eat," I'm going to be like, that's a personal thing, all right? You know, some people doing their own thing, right? But let's break this down a bit more. So the delegation from Jerusalem, all right, so the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, all right, they go to the Galilee. That's roughly 93-ish miles, all right? That's a long walk, all right? So the second thing is, I don't want to walk 93 miles just to tell somebody they need to wash their hands. I'm not about that. That's a long walk. That's like from here to Sugar Land. I don't want to walk from here to like the foyer. I don't know. But that's a long walk. And they're doing all that just to say, you need to wash your hands. It's a little ridiculous, right? So they talk about the traditions of the elders. So basically over the century since the Jews escaped and returned from Babylonian capture, right? Hundreds of traditions had been added, right? And in that time, they basically took this as the law. You have to do these certain religious traditions. And so that became what they were. And they were so focused on the traditions and the rituals of that time, right? So you have the Pharisees who go to Jesus, the Son of God, and say, you aren't doing something right. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not going to go to Jesus and tell Jesus that he's doing something wrong. I'm going to put my hands up on that one and say, you do you, Jesus, all right? But they were so focused in on that. They wanted this cleanness, right? And it wasn't like they were washing their hands for hygiene or anything like that. It was like ceremoniously clean is what they were wanting. To be ceremoniously clean before you eat. And this tradition of the elders, it kind of just took over parts of their way of life. So the first thing is religion focuses on tradition. The second thing is relationship prioritizes God's commandments. So we have religion and traditions. We have relationship and God's commandments. Verses 3 and 4. He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." So Jesus deals with tradition versus what God commands. And basically it's what man says versus what God says to man. So the whole thing of the tradition part is man said this, man said do this, man said all of these things, while it's the commandments are God says this to us. So are we focusing more on the traditions of today and what man says or what God says to us? You know, it goes on, care for your parents, do not curse your parents. They were forgetting so much of the commandments of God and focusing on the traditions of God, right? the tradition. Wash your hands, you know, don't do anything on the Sabbath. All these different things that Jesus is like, just follow my word. Follow my commandments. Follow the things I've told you to do. The third thing, religion seeks loopholes. Verses 5 and 6. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. The Pharisees were looking for these man-made loopholes to get past the things they didn't want to do, to get past the situations they didn't want to be in, to move on from everything that they knew probably wasn't right, but they were like, we can do this and change this, and now we're in the right. So they have this practice called Corban, and basically Corban is an offering that a person gives, and it's for the exclusive use of God. It's basically a way to kind of store your money like a trust-ish, right? And so they do that, and basically it allowed them to get out of taking care of their parents. It allowed them to be able to be like, all right, somebody else can do that. I don't have the money currently, but it was in a separate place. The fourth thing, relationship is grounded in Scripture. One of the most important points we'll talk about is this right here. Religion versus relationship. One is grounded in Scripture and one is not. Relationship is grounded in Scripture. Verse 7, it says, hypocrites. I don't know about y'all, but if Jesus walked up and called me a hypocrite, I'd be like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. As we walk with Jesus, we have to realize that everything we think, everything we know, if we're not trusting the Lord and walking with the Lord fully, then we're not on the same plane. We're not right. Right? Relationship is grounded in Scripture. Our relationship with God should be grounded in the Word. Everything that God does, everything that God touches will be perfect, right? We will be perfected if we allow Him into our hearts and we allow Him to work through us, right? And so basically, Jesus is pointing out that they're drawing near, right? And they're honoring God with their lips, but they're not trusting Him in their hearts, right? They're not doing as they're commanded to do, right? He uses Isaiah's words and what Isaiah has prophesied about his people and turn it back and say, well, is Isaiah prophesying about you then? You know, Isaiah said it in the past. Is it current now for what you're saying? Because what you're saying is that you're here and you're a speaker of God, but what your heart says is totally different. When we examine our hearts, is our heart aligned with God's word, or is it aligned with what we want it to be? Is our heart in the way, is our heart moving in the way that God wants it to move? Are we being led by God in that way, or are we allowing ourselves to do whatever we want and freely and live in the world, right? And Jesus is calling them out, and basically he hits three different key points. Religious people honor God with their lips rather than their heart. Religious people worship God in vain, to no effect, to no avail, right? They have nothing accomplished with that. And the third thing is religious people grant their teaching the same status as God's word. The Pharisees thought that whatever they said was on the same level as what God said. It was not the case. What God said is so much more, right? God has this perfect and holy way of just putting everything in place, right? The word of God is perfect, right? In Isaiah, in 2 Timothy, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not all scripture is given by inspiration of man. Not some scripture is given by inspiration of man, all scripture. So everything in the Word of God is by God, right? So why was it so difficult for the Pharisees to see that and to realize that and to recognize that? It's because they didn't want it to be the way it was. They were jumping through all of these loopholes and all these different ways to get around what God has commanded, right? They're doing these spiritual gymnastics to make the word mean what they want it to, and not taking the word at God's face value. Our fifth thing is religion obsesses over outward acts. Verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." The Pharisees were so preoccupied with food laws and cleanliness that they were missing the point. The first point is that they're standing in the presence of Jesus. And the second is the bigger picture of it's not about the food you're taking in. It's all about what you're speaking out with, what's coming out of the heart. It's not about the cleanliness of the food that you're eating, because he goes on to say, your stomach digests that. It gets rid of that. It eliminates all that. But what comes out of the heart, that has the ability to defile somebody. A couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we talked about the tongue, the power of the tongue. What are you speaking? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? When we're not allowing God to change our hearts, we're going to be putting out all the things that are on our heart. The worries, the fears, the anxiety, the anger, all the built-up frustration comes out. When we put in the word will come out. God will come out. We'll be able to show love to everyone that hears us speak, everyone that's around us. We'll be a walking just billboard for Jesus, right? When that's what we're filling ourselves in. My common saying with the students is trash in, trash out. God in, God out. These Pharisees were putting in their own thoughts, their own interpretations, their own way of thinking. And that's what was coming out. If they were putting in God and the word and the scripture, that's what would come out in the moment. They got so bogged down on the external factors of life. Don't pick grain on the Sabbath. Wash your hands before you eat. Only eat certain foods. Only worship on a specific day. That they were forgetting all about the relationship. The key point of the relationship with God. That's what gets us to heaven. Sitting in these seats, great, we get to be a part of a family. But if our hearts aren't changed, then that means nothing. Amen. If we don't allow ourselves to be changed, to be perfected by the perfect one, we can't get to heaven. Pastor Ron says it best. There's two ways to get to heaven. Be perfect, and I'm sorry y'all all failed. I already tried that one. And the second thing is be perfected, which we all have an opportunity to do. We all have an opportunity to be perfected. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Amen. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Trust that God is going to fill you with everything that you need to make it through the day, that we don't have to turn to the other things that seem like an easy fix for the time. Religion is externally based, while relationship is internally based. Our sixth point, relationship examines the heart. So we just talked about how religion obsesses over these outward acts. Relationship examines our heart. Relationship is concerned with the words that come out of a person's mouth. It doesn't matter what kind of food you eat. The body is designed to eliminate it. It's going to be fine. What matters are the words that are flowing out of your mouth, because the words come from the heart. A relationship with God is about transforming from the inside out, not just about following man-made rules. In a relationship with God, we examine our words and our actions, knowing that they reflect the state of our hearts. When we speak, God comes out because we've allowed that relationship to change us. Point number 7. Religion takes offense easily. Verse 12. Then his disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" It's very easy to get offended when you're told that you're wrong. When you're told something you don't like. When you think that you are better. Whenever you think that you have all the answers. It's very easy to get offended. And the Pharisees got easily offended because their identity was tied to these traditions, to these rituals, to these external actions that made them seem like they were holy. And when they were told that you don't have to do all this stuff, it's all about what's inside, it made them mad. They got offended, right? How are you telling me what I can and cannot? How are you telling me what the word means? I'm a teacher of the law. And Jesus is like, I'm Jesus. It's pretty easy. That's how I'm telling you. I'm telling you that none of this matters if you don't have a heart change. If you don't have a relationship with me, all this outside doesn't matter. A relationship with God requires humility and a willingness to be corrected, right? But a religious relationship with God can create pride, that whenever it's challenged, we allow ourselves to be offended. It becomes fragile and defensive, right? We need a relationship with God, right? Otherwise, our heart isn't going to change. And number 8, relationship trusts in God's sovereignty. Verses 13 and 14, it says, "But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.'" When your heart has been changed, when you know that God has done a work in your life that only he can do, there is no point in even trying to follow what you know is wrong. I love it best when Jesus says, they're like blind leading the blind. I can just picture that. I imagine in today's terms, you have a blind guy, he's leading another blind guy. I don't imagine a ditch though, I just imagine like a stop sign, and they're like, bump, and they're just like, stop right there. But it's true. If someone doesn't know truth and they're trying to teach you something, you're not going to learn truth. If I know nothing about geometry and I'm trying to teach y'all geometry, you're probably not going to learn geometry. Number one, I wasn't that great of a kid whenever I was younger. I cheated all through geometry. I have no idea how to do geometry. Squares, shapes, all that. It's cool. It's not my thing. Second, if I have no knowledge of it, how do I expect you to pull anything out of it? So these people that were teaching the word, they didn't truly know the word. They were just teaching what they wanted you to learn. They were teaching their traditions, their rituals, but they weren't teaching the heart change that has to go into having a relationship with God. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Jesus tells his disciples, it's going to be fine. It's going to be dealt with. Leave it alone. They're blind leading the blind. They're without me. They don't have a relationship with me. They don't know. They're lost. In a relationship with God, there's security knowing that God is going to guide us. There's security knowing that God has our back. Whenever we're blind and we're being followed, I would much rather be led by someone that can see and knows where we're going. I don't want to be led by someone that's going to get lost, someone that can't see. I want the security knowing that I'm being led the right way. And that's whenever we follow Jesus, we allow that security to come into our life. We simply surrender to the sovereignty of God. We're going to read the next 6 verses of Matthew 15, because this is really Jesus' conclusion to this. And so it's a good conclusion for us today. Starting in verse 15. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding?" So you have Peter saying, "Explain this to us." And Jesus is like, "How do you don't get this yet? You don't know? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Religion versus relationship is summarized in these final verses of this. Religious people depend on themselves and their traditions, seeking to be clean through these external actions. The person in the relationship with God depends on God for understanding and transformation from within. The religious man is obsessed with anything that goes into their mouth. It must be clean. The person in relationship with God knows that food goes into the stomach and is later eliminated. The religious man doesn't focus on what comes out of his mouth because he's more concerned with what he puts in. The person in relationship with God knows that the mouth is the gateway to the heart, and what comes out of the mouth flows directly from the heart. Jesus goes on and he says, talks about the things of the heart and the feelings of the heart. And the Pharisees, if you had asked them in that time, in that day, about their heart and what's going on in their heart, they probably would just lock up and just shut down the conversation. They didn't want to talk about it. They don't want to focus on that. They only wanted to focus on the non-essentials. Feast, food, Sabbath, days of worship, all the things that they were able to control. Sometimes we have to be willing to relinquish control so that God can do a greater work in our life. Sometimes we have to put our hands up and say, "God, you got this. I'm trusting in you. I'm here. I'm going to walk it. I'm going to be with you. But just there's some things I can't do." The Pharisees didn't want to do that. They wanted control of every aspect of their Christian walk, every aspect of life. Why? Because they felt power. They could never be wrong. They could do whatever they wanted and still seem holy and still seem righteous, right? However, whenever we're in a relationship with God, we know and understand the importance of talking about what percolates within our hearts, talking about what just is stirring up, what God is doing. It's important there, right? And Jesus closes out with verse 20. He says, "These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." What goes on in your heart will come out of your mouth. If it's God, then God will come out. If it's trash, then trash is going to come out. Are we focused on religious externals, or are we seeking a true relationship with God? Do we care more about how we appear to others or about the state of our heart? Do we remember that God desires relationship over ritual, heart over habit, sincerity over show? When you talk to people about Jesus, focus on the heart. Yeah, Christianity is defined as a religion, but it's a relationship to us. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If I don't have that, I don't have anything. I don't have an eternity. If I don't focus on that now, then I can't even think or imagine about in eternity with God. Sitting in the seats is great and all, but it all starts with the heart. I'm going to pray and then we'll dismiss. Dear Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, this morning for your word, God, for your mercy, for your grace, God, Lord. I pray, God, that you speak to these people, God, Lord, that you're working in their hearts, God, Lord, that you're using them, God, for everything you have planned, God. We lay our lives down at your feet, God, and allow you, Lord, to work through us, God, because, God, your plan, God, for our lives is so much bigger, God, so much greater than anything we could dream, anything that we could imagine, God, and we just give our lives fully to you, God. We give our hearts fully to you, God. Use this word, Lord, to send us out, God, with a new vigor, Lord, with a new fire, God, that we're able, Lord, just to reach more people, God, to allow more people to have that personal relationship with Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.